The first din in the official Seder of the Haggadah Shel Pesach in the Mishnayos, the second din in the Mishnah on Tzadikas and Beis, as we saw several weeks ago, the first time we looked at that Mishnah, the first line of Arvei Pesachim is still about Erev Pesach, and then the second line of the Mishnah, Tzadikas and Beis, we begin to actually go through the Seder Leil HaPesach. The first din is Haseva. The Zechiv Haseva applies to all Jews, wealthy or poor, and it's a way of eating. That's what the Mishnah tells us. The Gemara jumps immediately into eating what? The Gemara later on Kuf Ches Amar Al will get to other questions. In order to talk about questions of who, does the Seva apply to both men and women or only to men? How about if you're in a subservient position to the person you're with, a Talmud with his Rebbe? So the Gemara is going to get later on to the questions of who's Chayv and HaSeva, who's not Chayv and HaSeva, how about a Talmud Bifnei Rabbo, or you're an apprentice with your master craftsman who's teaching you Mada, and how about if you're a waiter at a meal? But first thing I want to know, what foods require a seva? Now, as we saw last time we came across the sugi a couple weeks ago, we focused on the bulk of that chunk of the Gemara, and when the Gemara wants to know, well, what is this achila beheseva that you speak of? The vast majority of the Gemara's real estate is spent on wine. Yes, no, first two kosos, last two kosos, idivo haseva. The Gemara dispenses with matzah and mar very quickly. Itmar. Matzah tzarech haseva, mar ein tzarech haseva. 1, 2, 3. Matzah yes, mar or no. The first time we saw this Gemara, we had a chance to take a look at Rashi. And Rashi says, the matzah tzarech haseva kivenei chorin shehu zecher legula. Matzah zecher legula. You're going to be mason, kivnei chorin, because matzah is a zecher l'gula, unlike moror is a zecher to the avdus, Rashi says, and therefore haseba is inappropriate with moror. We know it last time. And matzah really is both. Matzah is a zecher to avdus and to cheres. Matzah is lechemoni, and one of the means of lechemoni is it's poor man's bread. It's the sort of food they were eating in Mitzrayim. But it's also, as Rav Gamliel points out, later in Mishnah's Arvei Pesachim, it's also a zecher to them, which, as the Pesukim point out, it's also a zecher to the way in which we left B'chi Pazim. So matzah has two different messages that communicates. Unlike maror, which is purely zecher l'avdus, matzah is both zecher l'avdus and zecher l'cheres, and as a result, it does call for Haseva. Haseva is appropriate by matzah, but that's really the extent of what the Gemara is to say about matzah. Rashi is setting us up also for the Svaris, the Gemara is going to have a great way, which we spent time on a couple weeks ago, and the two kosos, which kosos is, which kosos is not, has to do with where in the kosos is the message of Cheres most directly communicated. So matzah, tzarech, haseva. Three words. So, but then Tosas raises an interesting question, and then Tosas gives very quickly at the end what seems like an unexceptional psak halach. Tosas says, "My dahava hava." Deeper into the Gemara talks about the wine. Some of the wine you do a say before, some of the wine you don't do a say before. And the Gemara makes a suggestion that maybe you only do a seva for the first two kosos. Because during the two kosos that bracket the magid, that's when the cheres is happening. That's when it's bubbling. That's when it's frothing. That's when the haseba is being created. The last two kosos is already old hat. My God, what was. That's no longer the moment to focus on cheres and haseba. It also points out that the matzah we do, Ma'ida hava hava. You've already said the bracha of Asher Galanu l'fnei Asuda. The second coast, the bracha on Gula, the bracha on Magid, it's already done. The last two coasts, Rebenji and Hal, Nisht. Ah, matzah, tzricha, seira. Lo, omar, mai, da, hava, hava. We don't say that by matzah. So the Gemara says, well, there are a lot of reasons why we're masiv by matzah, even if we're not masiv by the last two coasts. A lot to think about these reasons, but for now let's just take a look at what Tosos says. What are the chilukim between matzah and kosos? Number one, shiny matzah she'ikar suda yosem yayin. It's more central to the meal than wine, which probably means not only that matzah is a chi of daraisa to eat leil haseder, but it is a mitzvah daraisa be'erev tofel matzos, which is not the case when it comes to wine, but probably also means that in a global, universal, all year long, bread is considered ikra suda more than wine is. Right? If you drink, make a bird pira geffen, that covers all drinks, but it doesn't cover food. If you make a hamotzi on bread, that covers all food and drinks with the exception of wine. So bread is clearly ikra suda in a universal sense. So if there's a din in the Mishnah that you need achila behaseba, lo yochad sheyasev, so the most fundamental sense of achila behaseba is going to be bread, which happens to be matzah. Also, b'yayin hesiv kvar b'shnei kos rishonim. Number two, Tosa says, wine calls for haseba. It just may be that you've done enough. When you've already drunk two kos of haseba, it's good enough. The matzah, you need to have something to haseba, at least the matzah. We haven't had any matzah yet, the haseba. Intriguing. Number three, Tosa says, Shaksuva betora zecher lacheres shlo hispik betzekam lahachmit such a nigalim. Matzah is officially zecher lacheres. We were talking before. That's the official theme of matzah. Pasuk in Chumash quoted by Ram Gamliel in the Mishnayos and in our Seder. Avagav davi lechem oni. It is also lechem oni, and some of the meanings of lechem oni are poor man's bread. It's not the only meaning of oni. But some of the interpretations are in terms of impoverishment, but still yesh la'achla derech cheres. We need to eat it derech cheres. In other words, the matzah inherently communicates cheres very much, and therefore it calls for hesed. Three answers Tosas gave. Number one, bread is the ikra suda. Number two, you have to have some matzah behaseva. Number three, matzah is even more cheresdik fundamentally, essentially, intrinsically, than the yayin is. Pasuk in the Chumash. So of course matzah needs haseva more than wine does. And now, Tosas very briefly, this gives sort of like a backhanded psak halacha lemaisa. By the way, when we say you need a seba on matzah, the closing lines of Tosas, Dir Masal Mai, Hainu Kishim Mevarchan Alachilas Matzah Uve Afi Komen. When we say matzah, tzarech haseba, that means both matzah at the beginning of the meal and the matzah at the end of the meal. Both the matzah you eat when you make the bracha alachilas matzah, as well as afi komen. Tosas make a big deal of it. They spend time on their kasha, but matzah versus wine. And even if you say, oh, by the way, of course, after Komen, first kedais, last kedais, it's all included. Now, you saw that not everyone agrees with this. Who agrees with Tosus? Who quotes the machlokes about this?
It's Yosef.
Right? Who agrees with Tosus?
The Rush.
The Rush. The Mordechai and Nagos Maimon. The Rosh and Mordechai and Gaos Maimon, you all agree with Tosfos that after you require Haseba both for Kazai Rishon and for Afi Komen. Those three, by the way, the Rosh, the Mordechai, and Gaos Maimon, those three are all contemporaries, all Talmidim of the same Rebbe, all Talmidim by Rama Wurttemberg. Rama Wurttemberg was at the very end of the period of Balya Tosfos, famous stories about him. Yeah, we have legions of tshuvas written by the Rambam of Wurttemberg, some of which were written in a prison cell. because he was imprisoned in the prison tower in Eisenheim, the city of Eisenheim in Germany, by the local counter-duke, who wanted, for no crime, he just wanted to hold up the community for ransom. He figured Baden-Württemberg was the Gunnlaufdar of German Jewry at the time, early 1300s. So the local aristocrat, the local ignoble nobleman, thought that if he imprisons them in Württemberg, that would be a good way to make some quick cash, because the community would pay anything to spring him out of prison. Rav Rundberg, though, insisted that they follow the Takana Draban Mishnah Gittin, that if you overpay ransom for captives, you're only, in the long run, doing Jews a disservice, because you're making Jews more likely targets in the future. So he insisted the community should not pay the exorbitant amounts that the local aristocrat was asking for. He lived the rest of his life, Rav Rundberg, in prison. And he insisted, and the Kehila listened. They did not ransom him. They didn't pay the price that was being asked. Spent the rest of his life in prison. They didn't let the aristocrat did not was so upset that having been foiled, he refused to allow the Chevra Kaddish to come in and take Maram's body for burial. After some period of time, some Jew decided to ignore the instruction of Maram and paid his way out and retrieved his body for burial. And one of the amazing things about the story is we have tshuvos of Maram of Württemberg, some which I believe are relevant halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh. Piskei halacha, practical piskei halacha are built on tshuvos of Maram written with a byline Migdal Eisenheim. It's like a remarkable thing, because the name of the fellow who imprisoned him has long since become entirely irrelevant. But the Maram of Württemberg's word, when he was in prison, and would have looked to the at first blush, that who's really powerful and who's really impactful? The man sitting on the throne, the man with the money bags outside, who's deciding to imprison Maram and holding him in position. But in fact, who was really had more degrees of freedom and who really was having more impact? The man behind bars. Maram, just to clarify, Maram was not behind bars for having done a crime. He was behind bars simply being held up to hold up the community for money. But it's a remarkable thing. The Torah of Maharam in Michael Eisenheim has endured in a way that the petty power of the local aristocrat has not. So his three main Talmidim, the Rosh, the Mordechai, and Hagos Maimini, all agree with Tosfos. Not surprisingly, this is the end of the period of Baya Tosfos. The Mordechai doesn't survive, the Rosh does, and flees to Spain, and brings Taurus Ashkenaz with them to late medieval Spain. They all quote the position of Baya Tosfos, that what? That you need Haseba, both for Afri Koman and for Kazayas Rishon. Who disagrees?
Rambam.
The Rambam says,
only
Kazayas Rishon, right? We saw that, you see in the Beis Yosef, Tafayim Beis of Zayin, you can see it directly as well, and the Rambam you have in front of you. We'll have to see how he passed in Lalah. Rambam writes, it got cut off here. It's Perek Zayin Halacha Ches. Perek Zayin Halacha Ches. It did not make it to Takana. I apologize. Perek Zayin Halacha Ches. At the very end, Rambam mentioned, your Mesiv for the Arba Kosos and for Kazayas Matzah. And that's what the Beis Yosef points out. Beis Yosef makes it clear that he means that as opposed to Balya Tosos, and the Talmidim of Rundberg who said Kazayas Matzah and Afikom. Now, see, it's interesting machlokas. There's not a lot to go on. We showed we're looking at three words in the Gemara. Matzah, Tzara, Chaseva. That's all the evidence you have. And they're trying to figure out, does that include Afikom? Sorry, or does that not include Afikom? So, if you're a Rishon, look at those three words. Matzah, Tzara, Chaseva. We're trying to figure out, well, does we eat matzah more than once? So which matzah are we talking about? So some Rishonim looked at that Gemara, those three words, and said, oh, that means including the Afikom. Right? The Bayatosis, the Talmidim Aram. The Rambam, on the other hand, and the Bezos, of course, the Smag as well, the Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol is actually an Ashkenazi Rishon, who was the first to quote Rambam extensively. He was the first to bring Rambam into Torah's Ashkenaz. So it's not surprising that he's quoting the line of the Rambam, who says, no, not Afikoman does not require a Sefer. A Machlokas does Afikoman require a Sefer or not? How do you interpret Matzah, Sarif, Hesever? Does matzah include afikoman? Does matzah not include afikoman? So offhand, what would you think that machlokas hinges on? What would make me think that matzah sarif hesever includes afikoman or excludes afikoman?
Whether afikoman is included in the main view of matzah.
Ariel says, lechora, we should look at, does matzah include afikoman or not? Right? What's afikoman all about? You might have memories hearing someone, there's a machlokas, what's the nature of afikoman? But here's the problem. The problem is, there is indeed a machlokas about that. There's a beautiful rush. There's a beautiful rush at the end of the parak, in Siman Lama Dalib, on the mission of Kufi Tesameh that mentions, Eim afirin achar pesach afikoman, not to have dessert after the Karb Pesach. So he says, and by the way, a couple lines in, it begins to talk about the matzah that we eat at the end of the Suda. We don't have Karban Pesach. We're eating matzah again. That's a Gemara. That's a Gemara Kofiutas. It's a Kotzer Rashbam. The Rashbam says, what's this all about? A couple lines into the Rosh Siman Lamed Daled. What's this all about? Pirush Rashbam. Line into the Rashbam. Pirush Rashbam. Tzarech lechol matzah b'gemar se'uda zecher lematzah ne'achelas ima pesach b'kricha.
Who says this?
The Rosh Kotzer Rashbam. That you eat the afikoman zecher to the matzah that you ate at the end of the meal together with your afikoman. And then now the Rosh points out this is a somewhat difficult position. He says, we got to figure out why are we making the bracha alafios matzah at the beginning if the main matzah is at the end. We mevarach alafios matzah barishona, even though it's not really the same degree of chiyuv, says, yeah, the Gemara says that by maror also. If you're going to eat maror more than once, you eat maror for karpas, and again for maror, you're going to make the bracha the first time, even though the ikar mitzvah really is later on. So the Iker mitzvah, the Rosh says and explains the Rashbam, the Iker mitzvah matzah is at the afikoman, zecher to the matzah eaten with the karban pesach. But once we do the masa mitzvah, chilas matzah once, we have to make the bracha, not only hamotzi, but the birkas hamitzvah, right from the start. But then the Rosh says, you know, this is a surprising position. If the main mitzvah matzah is at the end of the Seder, so why not eat the mar at the end of the Seder? Why not have charosis at the end of the Seder? Have everything. Have the korach at the end of the Seder. So the Rosh says, I disagree. Hilchach Nirali. He says specifically he's bothered. Omnam. Two lines below the al in brackets. Amnam tmehani, what I'm really bothered by, lemos in kricha betchila. Why don't I make the korech at the beginning? Leave that for the end. Lehilkach nira lehinda osa matzah in l'shem chova. The Rosh says, that's why I think, the Rosh writes, I disagree with the Rashbam. I do not think that the afikoman is a mitzvah of matzah. You are eating matzah, but it's not for the mitzvah doraisa of the erev tochlu matzah. The mitzvah is matzah b'lo pesach. It's not zecher to the matzah that they ate with Karb Pesach, which may have been the main matzah to say at the seder b'zman hamikdash. No, you know what the matzah is. There's a rush. You know what it is. Ochun osa zecher lepesach, shayanecha alasova b'acharona. It's zecher. We don't have a carbon pesach. A carbon pesach is supposed to be the halachic centerpiece of the sudas leil haseder. Nebuch. We don't have a carbon pesach. We hope still. It's pretty dicey at this point. It couldn't be tahar in time, but carbon pesach could be baba tumah. The Mashiach came to that later today, tomorrow. You would bring carbon pesach. I don't know. We bring carbon pesach. Rov Yisrael are to name tumas meis. You bring carbon pesach b'tumah. Halavai we should be zocher this year. If not, at some point in the future. Right? The munas haMashiach is that we know Mashiach is coming. We hope he's coming soon. We don't know when he's. We know that he is coming. We don't know when. Achakel v'chol Mashiach. We know he's coming at some point, and we hope and yearn that it should be soon, whenever it will be. But for the last 2,000 years or so, we've been making a zecher l'pesach. We don't have a carbon pesach. It's aser to eat roasted meat leil haseder. That's an ancient takana from very soon after the Churban Bayis, the Mishnayos record, because that might get people to think you might actually think you're eating carbon pesach. It might be makdish. That'll be an issur d'oraisa b'ila. So we don't eat any roasted meat leil haseder. We avoid roasted meat leil haseder. So instead, zecher l'pesach is going to be a piece of matzah. A piece of matzah. Ulefi shehu zecher l'pesach yesh litan l'din ha-pesach sholech al-achareha ve'eno tzarachim ha-maror v'haroses. Rosh says that if it's a zecher l'pesach, everything makes sense. We don't have maror v'haroses with it. We had the maror v'haroses earlier. We have this matzah as a zecher to karban pesach. The zecher to karban pesach, and therefore we don't need anything after. Just like in the days of the Mishnah records, in the days of Mikdash, you wouldn't eat afikoman, meaning dessert, after the karban pesach. We don't need any dessert after the last piece of matzah, which we therefore call in itself afikoman. There's no afikoman after what we call afikoman. So what do we have? The Rashbam thought that matzah is zecher to matzah of the Karban Pesach, and the Rosh understands that to mean it's the mamish a mitzvah of matzah, it's the mitzvah of matzah, and the Rosh says himself, no, afikoman is not the mitzvah of matzah, afikoman is zecher to Karban Pesach. Who does say it's a mitzvah of matzah in addition to the Rashbam? Someone who shares three letters with the Rashbam. The Rambam. The Rambam quotes from the Rif that if you only have one kazayis of matzah shmurim, what does that mean? You have a lot of matzah, only one kazayis is matzah shmura. Let's just take a break for a moment. Just understand, what does that mean? Like, the rest of your matzah is chametz? So you're eating chametz until the end of the meal? What's going on? The answer is no. And there are two senses of shmura. One sense is, you want matzah, which number one is kashul or pesach, it's not chametz day. But you want more for the, and that's all pesach on. The only bread that you're allowed to eat is bread which is not chametz. But for Leil HaSeder, for the mitzvah of the Erev Tochu Matzah, not just a heter that's not chametz, but the requirement to eat matzah Leil HaSeder, it's not enough that it's not chametz stick, has to be shmura in the other sense also, that it was made with shei mitzvahs matzah. There are certain mitzvahs, certain heftei mitzvah which require a seal of shei mitzvah. This is one of them. Matzah for Leil HaSeder requires a seal of shema. To eat matzah chol moed, you don't need a seal l'shma. You have to make sure it's not chametz. But for leil haseder, for erev tochu matzah, you need a seal l'shma. Right? The discussion about whether a sukkah needs a seal l'shma, how much of tzitzis making needs a seal l'shma. Matzah's mitzvah, meaning matzah leil haseder, requires a seal l'shma. So let's say I have matzah. I have a lot of kosher l'pesach matzah, non-chametz matzah. But only one kazayis per person that was made l'shei mitzvah. So we have a lot to eat. We're not hungry. But how do we it's not a question of yeseh v'yecho. It's a question of yeseh v'yifsah. I have plenty of food to eat. But the question is, how am I mekayim the mitzvah of the Erev Tochu Matzah? At what point during my meal should I eat that one precious kazayis that's roi l'mitzvah because it was made l'shma? When do I eat that? So the Rambam quotes the Rif. The Rambam Pasuk is not surprising like the Rif, that if you only have one kazayis matzah shmura, you save it for when?
Afikom.
Afikom. The all meal law you're going to be eating from the kosher of Pesach, but non-lishma matzah, and you'll eat the lishma matzah at the end. What's that saying? What that's saying is that ideally you eat matzah's mitzvah beginning and end. But when you have to bite the bullet, and you have to really make choices, the most critical point for matzah's mitzvah is afikomen, because apparently that is a kiyum, and perhaps the primary kiyum of Be'erev Tov L'Matzos. And so if you only have one chance to mekayim Be'erev Tov L'Matzos, if you only have one kazayis of matzah shmur, matzah shma, you're going to have it for afikomen. So if I ask you, does the Rush think that afikomen is a chelek in the mitzvah of matzah? No. He rejected the Rashba. Does the Rambam think that afikomen is a chelek in the mitzvah of matzah? Yes. One second. So who should say that matzah tzarech haseiba includes afikomen? I would have guessed the Rambam. Right? The Rambam says afikomen is a primary, if not the primary, presentation of mitzvah's matzah. If you say matzah tzarech haseiba, obviously afikomen is included. Maybe it's only afikomen. Certainly includes afikomen. That's what the Rambam ought to have said. While the Rush, who says afikomen is just a zeichel of Pesach, it's not really mitzvah matzah, he should say matzah tzarech haseiba, that's the real matzah. Matzah's mitzvah at the beginning of the suda. But afikomen is not really matzah. It's physically a piece of matzah, but it's not part of the mitzvah matzah. We would have expected that the Rosh would say no haseiba afikomen, while the Rambam should say there is haseiba afikomen. So it's a gevaltik a hesber. To say the machlokas of afikomen is a question of what's the nature of afikomen. The problem is, it doesn't hold water because the data is reversed. The Rambam is the one who says you don't need haseib and afikomen. The Rush is one of the main proponents of saying you do need haseib and afikomen. So while it's attractive and is the logical first step to say the machlokas whether afikomen requires a seiba is the machlokas of what's the nature of afikomen. After all, the Gemara says matzah tzarech haseiba, is afikomen matzah or not? It's an attractive, it's a logical first suggestion. But after you have a good svara, you then have to go back and check your data. So it's an attractive theory, but the data do not support it whatsoever. For the Chora, we have to look further. Now, if you have just thinking methodically, if you have a machlokas over whether afikomen requires haseiba or not, so you look at that as an aspiring lamdin, and you notice that this is incredibly rich because it's a juncture of two concepts, afikomen and haseiba. So our first take was maybe it's a machlokas of the nature of afikomen. We tried that, and it doesn't pan out. So then the next option, which will hopefully bear more fruit, is maybe it's not machlokas of the nature of afikomen, maybe it's machlokas of the nature of haseiba. Maybe it's the other concept which is in play. Maybe what the Russian Rama really argued about is how does haseiba work? What drives haseiba such that the Rambam has some understanding of haseiba that would not mandate haseiba afikomen, despite the fact that afikomen is ikar mitzvah matzah, while the Rush has some other take on haseiba such that afikomen does require haseiba, despite the fact that's not ikar mitzvah matzah. Now that's intriguing, and that's the lechora where we want to go, and it's incredibly useful that the Brisker Rav actually develops a machlokas Rosh and Rambam about the nature of haseiba. He does not talk about afikomen. He has two other nafkaminas that he talks about. One or two other nafkaminas. And let's begin to lay the groundwork now for just a few minutes. And then we'll see this more fully next time. And we'll see how this, in fact, what the machlokas of nature of haseiba is, and how it could help us even understand what seems like a paradox about haseiba and afikomen. So for now, let's just take a look at the Gemara. Then come and look at the Gemara. The Gemara moves on. As I mentioned before, the Gemara begins with who? The Gemara begins with what? Or which? Which foods require haseva? The Gemara briefly talks about how, position, on your back, on your right side, your left side, and the Gemara talks about who. Who requires haseva and who does not? And here are a few lines, sixth to last narrow line. The Gemara has a series of ibayas. Ibaya lahu talmei tzarabo mai. What's the din? Does if a talmud eating seder with his rebbe, does he require haseb or not? So the Gemara says it was a machlokes amoron in the third generation. Abaye said Kiavina Beimar, when he was learning by Rava, when Rava was a Rosh Hashiva, Zagina na birki da adadi. We would all lean on each other's knees. Sounds like they didn't have much in the way of furniture for Hasebas. They sat in a circle, and everyone would lean over on the knees of the fellow next to them. Not incredibly comfortable, but technically, it was Hasebas. It gives you perhaps a sense of the privation that they had, the poverty within which they were learning. But then Kiasin Rav Yosef, when Rav Yosef took over the Rosh Hashiva, they had Seder by Rav Yosef. He said, Lo Tzrichisu, you don't need it. Mora Rabcha Kemora Shama. You're supposed to have so much Yira for your Rebbe Mavuk, that's based on the Drasha from many generations earlier. Rabbi Akiva's S, Hashem Lekech Hatir, S, Rav Tamir Chachamim. So more Rav, the more Shamayim, the more of the Rav should be so overwhelming that it's absurd to be Mesid Bifnei Rav. The Gemara says, Ayashayla, we have a Bryce that says you are Mesid Talmidei Tzal Rabo. And the Gemara's answer is, Kitanya Ahi, beginning the first wide line, Vashulia Denagri, someone who's teaching you Mada. If you're a carpentry apprentice studying under a master carpenter and you're having Seder together, apparently there is an added degree. Is a degree of kavod you're supposed to have for every human being, and particularly for people who are older than you, an added degree of kavod for someone who's teaching you Mada, whether it's carpentry or astronomy or any other discipline. We would have even had a halamina. There's so much covet for the master carpenter that you shouldn't even have a seva. The Bryce says there's not that much of a chiyuv motor. Not so much covet. Not like Rabbi Movuk. So there is a chiyuv covet for someone who teaches you anything, but not necessarily enough to eliminate a seva. It should be noted there's also, the Gemara just made the point before, there is a chiyuv seva of a child in front of a parent. There could be quite a level of Mora and still have a Chiyuv Haseva. And then the Gemara says, and with this we closed, how about the Shamas? How about a waiter? Shamas mine. Tashma? The Rishur Ben Levi says, Shamas achel kazayis matzah kishu mesiv yatzah. If the waiter ate his kazayis matzah behaseva, then is yotzah. So says the Gemara, Mesiv in, well, Mesiv lo. If he's not Be'aseba, then he's apparently not Yotze. Shma minah Be'aseba. Shma minah. So you see, obviously, he's required to be Mesiv. Now, Tosus begins to talk about what happens if you ate without Haseba. Were you Yotze Matzah, or do you have to go back and re-eat? And as we're going to see, the Rosh is going to bring a proof from this Gemara. Lo yatza. If you didn't, if you weren't Mesiv, you weren't Yotze, you got to re-eat your matzah. Apparently, Haseba is ma'akev in the mitzvah of matzah. The significance of that, the larger picture, what that tells us about Haseba in general, and how else one could read the Gemara, we'll get to Mitzvah next time.